It's Download here on WGN. I'm Justin Coffin with you till 9. With you till 9. It's 9:10. With you till 11 tonight when Patty Vasquez takes over with Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. Well, the Chicago Tribune's making a slew of changes that supposedly have nothing to do with their new majority investor, Michael Farrell. Bruce Dole is in as editor for Jerry Kern, who retires effective immediately. And today the company announced that they're changing the rules of their digital subscription model, going from a paywall to metered content. What does that mean? Well, we turn to our new media contributor, Scott Smith. Scott's worked in several news shops in town, and he's now the man behind OMIC Strategies, a media consultant company. Scott Smith, welcome back to the Download, buddy.
Good to be here as always, Justin.
So let's talk about this Tribune stuff, because there's just been a tremendous amount of change within like 2 days.
Right, and honestly, having worked in newsrooms and having worked in media environments, this kind of stuff doesn't happen quickly, and it doesn't happen, in response to the things that always seem like they do. I mean, obviously, Farrell purchasing a 17% stake in Tribune Publishing, that sort of thing happens on the 4th of February. It's announced. It's obviously, in the works for a long time before that. And he's stepping away from, day-to-day at the Sun-Times, reportedly, which also is a thing that, as far as I understand it, has been kind of in the works for a while. And then Jerry Kern then stepping down as editor to be replaced by Bruce Dole. You know, those are things that don't necessarily happen immediately. And with all of the big changes and all of the big personalities at all those, papers, I think while some of these things look like they're all completely interrelated, they aren't necessarily.
Yeah. Well, the Tribune has said they aren't. The Tribune's like, well, no, it's just, these plans were in the works. It has nothing to do with Michael Farrell, but it does seem very suspicious timing. But I also want to talk about the Sun-Times, because the Sun-Times as well goes back on their word of not doing editorials. They do a scathing editorial of Bruce Rauner, who famously was endorsed by the paper because Michael Farrell and Bruce Rauner had connections. So was that sort of perceived as a sort of see you later, Michael Farrell, Sun-Times is back?
I think that has probably, of all the things that have happened in the last, let's say, month and a half or so, that's been the one that's probably the most related to anything having to do with Farrell. So obviously, he and at one point Rauner was an investor in Rapport. So these two are pretty tight. Folks will probably remember back in 2014 when Dave McKinney was temporarily pulled off the beat and then later resigned from the paper as a result of what he felt was undue pressure for an article that he wrote that was critical of Rauner. So, it's interesting to me that somebody like Bruce Dole, who has been on the editorial board of the Tribune, which is famously conservative and famously, advocating for conservative positions, you now have as their overlord has left the day-to-day operations, particularly in the newsroom. The Sun-Times has now seemingly found its voice again as a counterweight to the famously conservative Tribune. And it's interesting to me that, when we talk about a two-newspaper town, we don't just mean, hey, it's great to have a vibrant media environment. We really do mean it's important to have powerful voices that are debating these issues for a good long time.
It was two different points of view. Right. That's what it used to be like in Chicago. And we haven't seen it as much in the last couple of years, but that would be a welcome change for readers in Chicago.
So for people who are worried that Farrell, having involvement in the Sun-Times, having this involvement in Tribune means that everything is going to be, pushing together. Here is some signs of life. As you said, some pretty scathing editorials against Bruce Rauner, going so far as to, mock what they said were his silk shirts and his habit of dropping G's in his speeches. So, it's certainly looking personal, and it does certainly look like, people who romance the newspaper wars of old, it certainly does seem like it might be a return to some of that.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about what happened today, because there was an announcement on the website about how they were going to change the way they do their digital subscription content. Meaning, if you're a reader of ChicagoTribune.com, you know that there are some articles that are behind a paywall. They have a little blue plus sign next to them, and you can't get to them unless you pay for the service. They're changing. They're going to a more, I guess, more popular metered content strategy. Tell us about that.
Right. So the little blue plus signs that you saw in all the articles are going to be gone. And so famously, what would happen is you would hit a certain kind of article on the Tribune's website, and you would be prompted to have registered or prompted to be a subscriber. It depended on the kind of content. You know, columnists typically were behind that paywall, but not in, if you came through a social media link. And the sort of rules for it were really confusing. And so it was hard if you were a subscriber and sometimes to know what kind of value you were getting. And if you weren't a subscriber, it was really hard for you to know kind of what how to get access to this stuff. So all that's gone now. This is 10 articles a month that you get for what they'll call their free access. And once you hit that, you'll be prompted to be a subscriber. This has been a model that's worked a lot of other papers, most famously the New York Times. And it's worth noting that Denise Warren, who is the head of digital as of last May of last year, is coming from the New York Times and bringing some of those folks over with her. And it looks like this is, you know, looking like she's bringing some of what has worked for the New York Times over to the Tribune. Obviously, there have been plenty of New York-based publishers that have tried to take what's worked in New York and make it work in Chicago. And what they usually find is they have to tweak things a little bit. The approach is always a little bit different. So it sort of remains to be seen how successful that model will be at the Tribune. But it certainly seems to be clearer for the average reader.
Yeah. Scott Smith is the man behind OMIC Strategies, a media consulting company. Let's take a break. He's also our Download's new media contributor. Let's take a quick break. We come back. I want to talk about, I'm confused about Insta articles. And this is what Facebook is sort of doubling down on is the future. Once again, sort of, you know, putting more and more of other people's content on their platforms. We'll talk with Scott about what that means for you, the reader, and what that means for news publishing companies around the world. And we come back here on the Download. Stay with us. All right, let's get back to Scott Smith here on the Download. Scott, of course, the new media contributor here. He's also worked in several news shops, and he's now the man behind OMIC Strategies, a media consulting company. Scott, let's talk about Facebook, because one of the things that I'm fascinated with is how Facebook has really co-opted the page views and revenue opportunities for news publications. I mean, a lot of the problems that the Sun-Times and Tribune are having just to be able to get ad revenue has to do with the way that the social media sort of empire that is Facebook has robbed them of the opportunity to get sort of collected page views.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, we were talking about this sometimes in the last segment, and many, many people have a problem with the way that their website loads and the stuff that's on the page and what have you. And in that quest for revenue, a lot of newspaper sites are kind of throwing everything they can against their sites, and so it makes it load slower, and it sometimes doesn't load at all. And what Facebook has done through this instant articles format is allowed for articles to load in a very clean, very easy-to-read format, and has also, though, included some ad spots on the page, but that load in a very kind of clean way. And so they're sort of offering to newspapers a problem that they didn't have until newspaper websites created it for themselves. And that's, hey, we're going to make your articles load a lot faster. Facebook wants that because it means that people will spend more time in Facebook. It's a more pleasing experience for them. They know that this kind of rich, deep content that, you know, newspapers and magazines and the BuzzFeeds and the you know, Vices of the world create is what people really want.
It's fascinating. So essentially what's going to happen with the Insta articles is you're going to be able to see something and Derrick Rose scores, you know, 30 points in the Bulls blowout loss tonight. You're going to click on the Sun-Times, and it's going to open inside Facebook. It's not going to send you to the Sun-Times. It's not going to take you off of that platform.
Right. The publisher has that choice. The publisher can make that decision. And, you know, sites like BuzzFeed do everything in instant articles pretty much, whereas sites like the New York Times will be choosy about what becomes an instant article format. They say that they put their sort of most quote-unquote social stuff inside an instant article. There's still a revenue opportunity for publishers. If they sell or embed advertisements in the articles, they get to keep 100% of the revenue, or they can let Facebook sell the ads and the social, Facebook will take 30% of that.
Okay. I mean, I guess that, you know, seems to be somewhat of an opportunity for publishers.
It is, and I guess it's like everything else Facebook is giving you. At first, it seems like a really great idea. You seem like you're getting this really great deal, and then the deal starts to seem less and less like a good idea. I mean, most newspaper publishers have seen their reach drop quite a bit. They're seeing less click-through from Facebook because Facebook is really trying to keep people within Facebook as much as possible, which is why you're seeing so much video in your newsfeed now, because Facebook likes embedded video. It keeps people on Facebook. It keeps the experience in their control. It remains to be seen how this changes over the course of a publisher's relationship with mm-hmm. Facebook. Will the revenue model change? Will the format change in some way? We were talking about Tribune's, meter paywall in the last segment. And, the only way that Tribune can get you to be a subscriber is if you actually hit their website. So for places that are looking to develop more subscription models, this kind of prevents that from happening. It still, builds on an advertising-only model.
Will you see, you mentioned BuzzFeed, but will you see other companies buy in wholeheartedly and maybe skip the idea of having a landing page and be able to just serve Insta articles and sell the ads in the space that's provided by Facebook?
There are publishers like Now This News, which don't actually use a website. Most of their content is what they're calling the distributed content model. So you could see it on Facebook, you could see it on Twitter, you could see it on Instagram, you could see it on Snapchat, but they don't actually have their own website where their content sits. And I think you'll start to see more publishers pursue that kind of model. Mm-hmm. And they're really interested in just getting the brand out there and kind of picking up advertising from the different, rates that, sites like YouTube or sites like Facebook will cut with them. So, I think you will start to see more publishers kind of think about what is the meaning and what is the role of our website really about anymore.
Yeah.
I think, a lot of publishers it's kind of their own fault that they're in this position because they've made their website become less essential and more problematic to a lot of readers.
You and I have both been in newsrooms on the website, digital side of content. And when you think about this, the Insta article craze or the idea that this could be almost its own social media advancement or platform in the way that, there may not be a need for a NewYorkTimes.com or a ChicagoTribune.com in the future. I'm not saying right now, but in the future where Facebook is or behemoths like that, whether Google or Facebook, they are the internet. It's just mm-hmm. It's there, and that's where you get your news, and the brand Chicago Tribune on the masthead of that article is going to be much, much more than ChicagoTribune.com.
Yeah, it's funny. It sort of reminds me of the old AOL days. Remember, the Chicago Tribune website was basically just a channel inside AOL for a good long while. And unless you had access to AOL, you weren't getting access to Tribune. So will that be something that, more and more, unless you are within a certain kind of social platform that you don't have access to certain kind of content, or maybe you only have access to certain kinds of content. Maybe it's just the most Facebook-friendly content, and the stuff that Tribune and other publishers will host on their own sites will be the stuff that they feel like, New York Times has kind of said, we do some pretty cool stuff on our own site, and the storytelling tools that we feel we have are better than what would be offered in instant articles. And so you may see just some very specialized kinds of content like Snowfall and the New York Times and that. That may be
what's on the New York Times.com, right?
Look like.
That's not that far off because news companies now all have social media managers and they have people who give voice to their Twitter or voice to their Facebook page or any other social media platforms they may use. So it's not that far off that you'd have an Insta article team.
Right, right. Yeah. What is the team that decides, okay, this is going to be the instant article. This is going to be for this platform. This is going to be. And honestly, I've been in newsrooms where that's been the case. You develop certain pieces of content for the platform, because honestly, the stuff that plays well on your website doesn't necessarily play well in full form on Facebook. And so you are now creating six or seven different versions of a story for the platform itself.
I think it's something to look at. I saw the article. I think it's interesting, but I also think that it could be a huge advancement in social media, or at least the way that we use the internet. Scott Smith, the man behind OMIC Strategies, a media consultant company. He's worked for so many shops here, and he's also our new. I guess we could take it away now. You've been on for 6 months or 8 months.
Yeah,
now.
I'm more the old new media correspondent.
You're the old.
At this point.
Yeah. You're the middle aged.
Right. Well, it's not. Come on.
Come on.
That sounds worse than old somehow. I don't know how, but it does.
Our middle-aged media contributor, Scott Smith.
Oh, God.
I think it's stuck. You say it three times, it's stuck,
unstick
man.
Unstick it.
Unstick it. See, now we're talking social media. We're sticking stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. See, there you go.
Scott, good to talk to you.
Good talking to you, man. Take care.